Amen. Live like that. Powerful song from Sidewalk Prophets. And by the way, they're going to be in Riverside next month. And so if you are, I know we're going to be going. And if you're interested in going to a Sidewalk Prophets concert, you can look it up on the internet. I'm sure there are still tickets available. You will be blessed. What does God want of you? What does He want of us? What does He want us to do? First and foremost, God wants us. He wants me. He wants you. He wants us to be all in. And again, that is our theme for this new year, 2018. All in 18. Today I'm going to share a sequel, if you will, part two of the message that I began last Sunday morning. And I just want to say at the outset that I am knowingly and intentionally going to be repeating some of what I said last Sunday morning. Why? Well, first of all, for the benefit of those who were not able to be here, and secondly, because I believe that what God has put on our heart, on my heart, and is speaking to us is so important that it bears repeating. So again, as we begin this new year, God wants us clearly to know that He is not finished with us yet. He's not finished with you. And He's not finished with Gateway. He still has much for us, and He expects much from us. And so it is important for us to consider, what does God want to do in your life? What does He want to do in the life of this church? I believe that God has some great things that He wants to do here, in and through us, in and through you. I believe that He has some great things in store for us here at Gateway. God wants us to continue to move forward in Him, into all that He has for us. Now's not the time to be putting it in neutral. Now's the time to be putting it in drive. Amen? Well, what does God want? He wants every one of us, and that means you. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, He's talking about you. God wants every one of us to be all in. I gave you this important principle last Sunday morning, and I'm going to share it again. And it's this. If you're not all in, you're not really in at all. If you're not all in, you're not really in at all. God doesn't want you to be half in and half out. One foot in and one foot out. God gave His all for you. He wants your all for Him. The question is, are you fully committed? Both in your personal relationship with Jesus and in the church, are you all in? God wants you to be positive, not negative. God wants you to help us to get where He wants us to go. Are you all in? God has called you to be an important part of the team here and what He wants to do. God wants you to be part of the team, His team, part of the family of God, part of the body of Christ, part of the team right here at Gateway. Are you all in? You see, we are God's team. And that's the title of my message. And this is, of course, part two, God's team. But for this team to work, for this ministry, for this church to succeed, and God wants us to succeed, amen? All of us must be totally committed and fully involved, dedicated to the task at hand. And you must do your part for us to support each other and to support the leadership of this church. The future of Gateway will be determined by the commitment of the team and the important part that you play on this team. We'll only succeed, we'll only be all that God wants us to be if we pull together in unity. If you are all in. So we're talking about the team. And our text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. Now, last Sunday morning, we read the entire portion of the scripture here. I'm just going to read some of this. But beginning in verse 12, the Apostle Paul says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." And jump down to verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit in this place. Lord, we've already felt your touch. We've already been encouraged in your Spirit. Lord, as we now turn to look into your word on this subject once again of being God's team, I pray that you will speak to every heart and every life, that you would just open up your word to us, that you would call us, Lord, and challenge us, Lord. And God, I ask you one more time for the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be upon me, because I can't preach this message without your help. May it be so, in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. The church truly is a wonderful thing, made up of many different parts, many different people, but all comprising one body under one Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, to accomplish God's purposes in this world, to bring salvation to those who are lost. The church is how God chose to carry out His plan on this earth. You are the church, the body of Christ. We are God's team. So we're looking, we are looking now closely at this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians, and what Paul tells us here about this team. We began last Sunday morning by saying that the body, the team, has many different parts, and every one is important. Again, in verse 14, Paul says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many." Those parts, the people on the team, are very different. We're all very different. As I said last week, some of us are a little bit more different than others. But thank God that we're different. Thank God that we're not all the same. Do you know that I'm glad everybody isn't like you? And you're glad that everybody isn't like me. But those differences that we have are not a weakness. They are rather what makes us strong. Those differences enable us to do many different things and reach many different people. There's people that you can reach that I never could, and vice versa. No one person is good at everything. That's why it takes a team. In verses 4 through 6 of this same chapter, Paul says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. We are better together. We are better together. And the team only works if we're all in. If we all do our part and pull together. The fact is that God put us together here at Gateway for a reason and a purpose to carry out His plan to accomplish His will. Every part belongs in the body. Every part belongs on the team. And every part, every person is important. And we get to connect. I want to say, we get to do this. We get to be a part of this. We get to connect with God. We get to connect with each other. We get to be part of something bigger than we are. We get to be part of what God is doing. Think about the awesomeness of that. The greatest thing that I can think of to be part of is to be part of God's team. To be part of the church. To be part of what God is doing in this world. Especially in these last days. The Lord directed my attention to the scripture in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. The writer says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Now watch this. "Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." And boy, we see that more and more and more and more in this day in which we live. Church attendance, connecting with a team, being part of the body of Christ is less and less and less important today. I just read that today the definition of a committed Christian is somebody who attends one or two services a month. That doesn't fit with what my Bible tells me. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some or in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming soon, my friends. Now, more than ever, we should be committed to the team and to the work that God has called us to do. Can somebody say amen? The fact is, we need each other. We need to be committed to each other. We need to come together. We need to be here to encourage one another, to build each other up, to be part of God's team, part of what God is doing in reaching the world, redeeming the lost, changing people's lives. It just doesn't get any better than that. Are you all in? You see, the fact is, you are important to God. And you are important here. God has a place for you here. A role for you to play. A job for you to do. And we cannot do it without you. Some parts, some people, some ministries may indeed be more visible, but all are vital. I said this last week and it bears repeating. Lest anything that I have said in the past be misunderstood, everyone here at Gateway is important. Everyone. The young and the older. The long timers and those who are new. Children and teens are important. But we adults who show them the way and point them to Jesus and love on Him and minister to them are important. Visitors are welcome and important, but so are those who greet them when they come in. We have a heart for those who are lost, but who shares the love of Jesus with them? We want to see the unchurched come in, but who reaches them when they do? We always will talk about those who aren't here yet. Emphasis on yet. But who's here to receive them when they come? Who is important at Gateway? You are. You are. How will we continue our ministry without you and your attendance and your cooperation and your service and your participation and your giving? How will you be ministered to if you're not here? How important are you? Well, the church will not succeed without you. Are you all in? What is our mission? To know, grow, and show. And I'm going to keep talking about it until we get it. To know God, to grow in Christ, and to show Him to the world. We have some former Marines here. I know for a fact, although I was in the Army, I know for a fact that in boot camp, that's what the Marines call it, right, Mark? A Marine in training is taught to memorize 11 general orders. Is that right? He's thinking back. Marines tell me that they have to memorize those 11 general orders and be ready to say them at a moment's notice, anytime, anywhere, any place. Should a superior officer come up and say, "Marine, what's your first general order?" To take charge of this property, to take charge of this post and all government property in view. Is that right? Your first general order? Do you know that we, as a church, we have some general orders given to us by God? We have a mission to carry out. And all of us should know our mission, to know why we're here, to know why we exist, so that when anybody asks us at a moment's notice, we can say our mission is to know God, to grow in Christ, and to show Him to the world. As you know God, as you grow in Him, as you show Him to others, that's how the church continues. That's how the team succeeds. We often talk about how important it is for us to reach a younger generation, because that's vital for our future and to fulfill our calling. But when they come, who will set the example for them to follow? The Bible is so clear that the older generation is to train up the younger. Are we fulfilling our mission? No matter who you are, God has a purpose here for you, a part for you. God is not finished with us, with you yet. You are important to what God is doing here. We looked also last week, if you turn back just one page from our text in 1 Corinthians 12, back to chapter 10, the last verse of chapter 10 and the first of chapter 11. Paul really hits the nail on the head of really what it's all about being on God's team. He says, "For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many." It's about the team. "I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." It's all about the mission and our purpose. And then he says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." When people look at you and me, they should see not only are we a team, but they should see Jesus in us. That's why I love that Sidewalk Prophet song. "When they see me, do they see you?" Lord, when they see me, do they see you? I want to live like that. I want to point to Jesus. That's why I'm here. That's why we're here. Friends, it's all about Jesus and the good of the team. Are you all in? Every member of the team is vital. Verses 21 through 23 of our text, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor." You see, the body is weakened by the loss of any one part. Did you get that? The body is weakened by the loss of any one part. The fact is, when you're not here, it makes a big difference. Your absence is noted. Why? Because you're needed. Because you're important here. And because there's something here that you need. There's something here that you need to get stronger in God, to grow in Christ, to become more like Jesus as we point each other to the Lord and we build up the body of Christ. We need you and you need us. And when you don't step forward, when you don't give, when you don't serve, when you don't take part, when you don't participate, things just don't happen as they should. And the team cannot function properly and the ministry and the mission cannot be accomplished. You see, you have a great impact on this church and this ministry. Both the gospel going out and the church going forward. The team is made strong by every part carrying out its function. We are far stronger. We are much more with you than we ever could be without you. You can and you do make a difference. You are important because you are a part of the team here at Gateway. We need you. I need you. I, as your pastor, I need you. I need your prayers. I need your support. I can't do it without Jesus. And I wouldn't even want to try to do it without the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. But I also can't do it without you. I need you. It's pretty powerful what happens when the church is a team. When God's people pull together and not apart. When God's people seek the common good and not their own. When God's people follow Jesus and carry out His will. When God's people seek His agenda and not their own. When God's people are in agreement. When God's people speak positively and not negatively. When God's people spur faith and not doubt. When God's people create harmony and not division. When God's people bring peace and not confusion. When God's people are led by the Spirit and not their own opinions. What happens when the team comes together in unity? Well, we talked about it last Sunday morning. When God's people came together in unity, The result was what we call the day of Pentecost. And you know the story. Because God's people were a team. They were all together. Not only in one place, but they had one purpose. They were in one accord, of one heart, of one mind. They were in agreement. Would the Holy Spirit have fallen on the day of Pentecost as He did if they had not been in one accord? The early church was successful. The early church was victorious. The early church was overcoming. The early church was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The early church reached their world. They changed their world. They even, it said, they turned Jerusalem upside down. They carried out their God-given mission. They fulfilled their purpose because they were a team. Because they were all in. Let's go on. And let's further point out that Paul tells us in this text that the body of Christ is one team. One team. Somebody say one team. One team. Verses 12 and 13 again. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. What this tells us is that there must be unity in the body of Christ. You see, God designed His body, His church, His people. He designed us to be one. And He desires His people to come together and to function as one. United we stand. United we stand. Divided. Divided we fall. You see, friends, there's an enemy out there called the devil, who does not want God's purposes to go forward or the team to succeed. The fact is that the enemy's goal is to divide and separate, to divide and conquer. But the truth is, we are all part of one body. We are saved by one Savior. We serve one Lord. We're filled with one Spirit. We're called to one purpose. Yes, we're all different, but we're all the same. We're part of one family. You know, I really think it's amazing how when you're watching a sports team, a game, and, you know, maybe you're watching a baseball game, and the pitcher throws at the batter and hits him in the head. What happens? The dugout's clear. The bench is empty. Because that player that was attacked, they all come out to defend their player, their team member. He's on our team, and we're not going to let that happen. They come out together. The bench is empty. Everybody comes out because they're part of the team. Friends, we are on the same team, and we never go after each other. We only go after the devil. I'm going to say it again. The team doesn't go after each other. The team goes after the devil. And the team doesn't let the devil get between us and pull us apart, even if we don't always agree. Guess what? There is not one church in the face of this earth where everybody is going to agree all the time. You're not even always going to agree with me. I know that. Because I'm not perfect. And neither are you. The Bible doesn't say that we always have to agree with one another. It says that we have to be committed to one another. We have to love one another, support one another, pray for one another, build each other up, and not let the devil get between us and pull us apart. Listen, friends, we're in competition with the enemy, not with each other. The team must share the same goal. It's true for sports teams. How much more true is it is for us? Soon after we leave here and we grab a bite to eat, we're going home to see how our Pittsburgh Steelers are doing. Right, Stanley? They're in a big game today. But the goal is very simple, to get the ball across the goal line. In baseball, it's to cross home plate. In basketball, it's to get the ball through the hoop. Every team has a goal. And every member of that team is part of achieving that goal. One time, I saw a football game where one of the players got the ball and they thought, man, this is an easy score. He ran, I don't know how many yards, went across the goal line, and it turned around that he went the wrong way. Never do that again. The team has to be all together in the same direction to cross the same goal line. What we're doing here is far more important than any sports team or game. We are called by God to one purpose. We have one goal, to see the lost come to Jesus, to make disciples. We have one vision, to further the kingdom of God, to enlarge our borders, to see people set free, to see lives changed, to see people grow in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. We have one focus, and that is Jesus Christ, and to keep our eyes on Him. We have one heart, to worship God and to bring Him glory and to seek Him and never our own. Paul expresses it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 14, he says, "For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one." He's made the two one, "and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through Him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." Now watch this. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit." Man, I'm getting excited. And let's look at 1 Peter chapter 9. Excuse me, chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Peter adds, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And then in chapter 4 he adds, "The end of all things is near." The end of all things is near. "Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now listen to this. Verse 11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. What do all these verses tell us? We are all part of one body on the same team. We're here for the same reason, for the same purpose. We all have one goal to accomplish. We're here to glorify and serve God. And to do so, we must be and we must pull together as one. Are you all in? You see, this team was put together by God Himself. Back in our original text, in verse 18, Paul says, "But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be." Listen, my friend, you are not here by mistake. You're not here by accident. It's God's will for you to be here, to be part of what He's doing, to be part of us, to be on this team. God put this team together. God designed this body. Why are you here? How did you get here? Well, we all have different stories. And I love to hear the different stories of how everybody came to be here. But the bottom line is, you're here by the design of God. He brought each of you here. He put you on this team. It was God's plan for you to be part of what He is doing and what He wants us and you to do here. Your mission, should you accept it. Remember the old Mission Impossible. Your mission, Mr. Phelps, should you choose to accept it. Your mission, my brother, my sister, should you choose to accept it, are you all in? Is to build up the body and to help the team succeed. One last thing. The team needs positive people to succeed. I'm going to say that again. The team needs positive people to succeed. One more scripture. Can you handle one more? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Paul says, "Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ." Now watch this. "From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." You see, the role of every member is to help the team win. The role of every member is to help the team win. When serving God, we should do His work with excellence, to the very best of our ability. God gave His very best for us. Should He expect any less from us? And if I can close with a note from my heart as pastor. Everything that we do here, it's for Him. And it's for the good of the team. For God is served. God is pleased. God is honored. God is glorified when we pull together to build up the team. To build up the church. Friend, will you make your team, will you make your church better by being a positive person? By pulling together as one team. Are you all in? Gateway is a team. We are part of the body of Christ. We have many different parts, but every one of you is important. We are one team. There must be unity in the body of Christ. We must share the same goals to accomplish our mission. As we're put together, we're here by the design of God Himself. And this team needs you to win. Are you all in? In a minute, I'm going to ask Stu to put on a song. And I'm going to open up these altars and invite and welcome you to come and find a place of prayer. Whether you need to spend a few moments and get a hold of God, say, God, how do you want me to respond to this? What do you want to do in my life, God? What can I do? God, am I all in? There are some things in my life that I need to change. God, what do you want me to do? If you need to come and spend a few moments and renew your commitment, will you make the commitment to be here, to give, to serve, to do your part? Will you make the commitment to pull together with us in unity, in agreement, to build up the body of Christ? Because we won't make it without Jesus. We won't make it without you. If you're not all in, you're not really in at all. Do you need to come? Spend some time in prayer. Rededicate yourself to Jesus and to the team, to the church. Because God has some great things here for us. And He wants some great things from us. And He wants each one of us to be part of the team, part of what He wants to do right here at Gateway. It's not about us. It's not about this church. It's about Jesus. But this is the way He chose to work in this world. And He's called us. He's called you. Are you on God's team? Maybe you need to come forward and take a few moments. If you've never given your life to Jesus. God love you so much. Oh, I love that song. The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. He loved you so much that He sent His Son Jesus Christ to come to look for you. He left the 99 to come to look for you. There's no wall He won't kick down. No lie He won't tear down coming after you. Maybe you need to respond to the love of Jesus Christ for you. Maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. You can walk out of this place a brand new person in Christ. He is only a prayer away. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to Jesus. Maybe you need to say, Lord, in this new year, I want to be all in. Brother Stu, would you put on this song for us, please? It's called Everything and Nothing Less. And as this song is played, I want to invite you, welcome you, to come to the front, to the altar, the front pews. Find a place of prayer. Let God minister to you so that you can leave here knowing that you have made a commitment to Jesus, to God's team, to be all in. God bless you. Hallelujah. The altars are open.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Lord, here we are. Here we are, Lord, in your presence. God, help us to give it all to you, to surrender all to you, all that we are, all that we have, all of our hopes, all of our dreams, even all of our struggles and our trials, everything, Lord, we give it all to you. Here we are, Lord. Use us for your honor, for your glory. Oh God, help us. Help us to be all in, to be completely given over to you, to help us to be totally committed to you, to your body, to your team, to the ministry that you have given us to do, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you count us worthy, not by anything that we have done. In and of ourselves, we're nothing, Lord. But yet you count us worthy to be on your team, to carry out your mission and your purposes on this earth. That we get to do this. We get to know you. We get to serve you. We get to give. We get, God, to be part of what you're doing. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we look forward, God, to what you are going to do as we come together in unity as one team, one heart, one mind, one purpose, under one Lord, in one Spirit. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And for each and every one who is here, part of this team. Bless them, Lord. Bless this team. Bless every member. And have your way in our lives. Be honored, be glorified by what we do. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The altars remain open. If you would like to stay and pray, feel free to do so. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Have an awesome, awesome day in Jesus. To